to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join us today. The University of Michigan is one of the largest and most renowned public research universities in the world, and people from all across the globe travel to its Ann Arbor, Flint, and Dearborn campuses to attend school. It has a range of colleges that teach undergraduate and graduate students to become doctors and scholars and teachers, lawyers, community advocates, and much more. It is also where I happened to attend for undergraduate education. The university also plays a significant role, of course, in our region, conducting research in our state, educating and employing a large number of people, and maintaining a really prestigious hospital network. With an endowment of $17 billion, Michigan has a lot of room to spread its influence. And now the university has a new president, Santa Ono. Before coming to U of M, Ono was the president and vice chancellor of the University of British Columbia. And before that, he was the president at the University of Cincinnati. He's also interacted with governments a lot, having served on a state biomedical task force and having advised national and regional governments on higher ed and mental health, in addition to his work with pharmaceutical companies. We are really pleased to have Santa Ono here with us on the program to understand why he wanted to be U of M's president, how he conceives the university's role, and how he thinks the university should most effectively interact with the state and the Southeast Michigan region. President Santa Ono, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning, Stephen, and it's really wonderful to speak with you. We're very proud of you as a graduate of this institution and your 2014 Commentary Prize. I know you're a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, and we're very proud of you.
I'm always very proud of my association with the university as well. First, I want to personally welcome you to the University of Michigan and the state of Michigan. It's really been impressive to see the way that you have introduced yourself, I guess, to the university community and the state. I think you might be the fourth or fifth president that I will have interacted with at the university. And I have to say that the way that you are reaching out to different communities there in Ann Arbor and around the state, both in person and on social media, it's really different than what we're used to. Give me a sense of why that's so important to you and what you've learned, I guess, in the months that you've been here interacting with as many people as you have.
Well, thanks for that question. You know, I think the root of the answer is that this is a public university, and it was founded to serve the citizens of Michigan, and that includes Detroit, as the subject today. And it's really important for the president of the university to connect with all stakeholders, and a primary set of stakeholders are government officials, but also the citizens of Michigan. And so I've really made it a priority during the first 2.5 months of my presidency to interact with the governor, with the mayors of Detroit and Ann Arbor, and to travel around the state and to meet graduates, but also prospective students and teachers, and to hear from them what they'd like to see the University of Michigan be in the next 5 to 10 years.
So let's talk about why you wanted to be a university president, and particularly the president at the University of Michigan. A lot of college administrators I've talked to in the last few years especially have talked about how difficult that role has been because of the pandemic, leading these institutions, making sure that they're able to serve students and faculty and alums and all the other interested parties. It's a different job than it was in 2019. Talk about how that has changed for you and what attracted you to this job here in Ann Arbor.
Well, first of all, you might be amused to know that I didn't set out wanting to be a university president. Like many university presidents, I was a faculty member at a number of institutions. I'm a biomedical researcher. I've studied the genetic basis of diabetes. And most recently, my laboratory is focused on the biology of macular degeneration, the leading cause of blindness. And so I did not set out to be a university president. I didn't want to be a university president. What happened was that along the way, as I was promoted to different levels as a faculty member, and then I was called upon to serve the university, different institutions, first as a department head, and then a dean, and then a provost, and then ultimately as president. So I never set out to do this. It just sort of happened. People just continued to tap on my shoulder, asking me to assume greater levels of responsibility. But to answer your question about the University of Michigan, and as you pointed out, I've already been president of two other very large public universities. Mm-hmm. The University of Cincinnati, not too far away, and an even larger university than Michigan, University of British Columbia, with about 71,000 students. So I've already been president, and the reason why I was interested in the University of Michigan is that I've always felt it was unique. It is, from the very inception, a research university, and it is one of the great public universities of the world, as you pointed out. And I was very happy at UBC, but there they have a two-term limit, just like the U.S. presidency. So the longest you can really stay there is between 8 and 10 years, and I was in my seventh year as president there. And as you know, Michigan, about a year ago, began a search for their next president, and they called me up. And, you know, I would have been perfectly happy staying another couple of years at UBC, but when what I consider to be the premier public university in the world called me and said, "We're interested in you," it was impossible to refuse and to have that kind of a conversation. I was delighted that the search committee and the regents actually selected me.
So let's talk about what's on your mind as you are getting started in the role in Ann Arbor, in charge, of course, of that campus, as well as campuses in Flint and Dearborn, which have their own leaders, but of course fall under the University of Michigan auspice. But what are the top three or five things that you think need to be addressed from the president's office at the university as you take over?
Well, you're absolutely right that, you know, the two other campuses have chancellors, and we have very good chancellors leading University of Michigan Flint and University of Michigan Dearborn. I interact with them on a regular basis, and we want to support all three campuses. In addition to those two campuses, I have primary responsibility over the Ann Arbor campus, which, as you know, is the oldest and largest of the three campuses. What I'd say are my top priorities, sort of not in any order, are first to build upon this extraordinary depth and breadth of expertise that exists at the University of Michigan. And just to give sort of context to this, there is a research organization that looks at the number of highly cited scientists around the world. And I don't think a lot of people realize how formidable and how impressive the leadership and expertise is at this institution. If you look at the number of highly cited scientists, the University of Michigan ranks in the top six universities in the world and in the top five in the United States. So there are very, very few universities that have sort of the array of expertise that Michigan does across, you know, over 110 disciplines. If you look at the most recent U.S. News ranking, 110 of the graduate programs are ranked in the top 10 in the United States. So with that comes a real responsibility, not only to Michiganders, but to the whole country and to the world, really, because it's almost unmatched, the resources, the facilities, the expertise that exists here. And we have outstanding students and staff that support all of that scholarship and research as well. So to answer your question first, I think the opportunity that is before us as a university is to leverage that expertise to address some of the most vexing and challenging problems that civilization faces. And you know, if you ask me to point to a couple, certainly climate change and actually addressing that, mitigating that, so that our children and our children's children will be able to live comfortably in a sustainable way, has to be one of the top priorities. And I've been very clear that that's a priority for me. And I'm very happy that there are about 750 professors at this institution that consider that to be a top priority. And it's really clear from communications from students and staff that it's also a passion and priority for them. So to answer your question, really bringing together that expertise that exists within our three campuses and 19 schools on the Ann Arbor campus in a different way so that we incentivize and encourage collaboration within the university and between the university and the municipalities in which the campuses actually reside, and with other institutions locally, nationally, and globally, and with governments in terms of key decisions that have to be made with respect to processes and policies, that we're really going to have to come together to solve that issue is one example. And so, you know, that's something that is a big opportunity for the University of Michigan. The second thing I'd say real quick is that the University of Michigan was founded in Detroit, and it moved to Ann Arbor, and we already have a considerable presence in Detroit. I'm sure you're aware of the Cradle to Career Preschool to 20 collaboration mm-hmm. with the Detroit Public Schools and Margrove College. We have nearby Detroit in the Dearborn campus a lot of programs and research and interactions with different parts of the city through education, research, and service. And we've really stepped up community engagement in terms of the city of Detroit, and we have a partnership on economic mobility and a poverty solutions initiative. But there's so much more that we can do. And so one of the first priorities or commitments that I made was to move forward with what was called the Detroit Center for Innovation. As you know, Stephen Ross made a major gift to the university to make that possible, and the state of Michigan has made a matching gift, and the university will also dedicate considerable resources for standing up this, what we're going to call the University of Michigan Center for Innovation in Detroit. And I couldn't be more excited to build upon that work, to make sure that that building goes up. It'll be a state-of-the-art innovation center. We're searching for a new director right now that will be a critical voice within the community, but also interact with different stakeholders in Detroit. And it's going to be a world-class research, education, and entrepreneurship center designed to advance innovation and a talent-focused community development effort by the university. So those are two priorities that I wanted to highlight in response to your question.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking with Santa Ono, the new president of the University of Michigan, about his plans for the university and the future there. We want to get you going as well, listeners, on the phones and on social. Give us a call and let us know if you have questions about the role of the University of Michigan here in the state of Michigan. Do you have questions about the governance of the University of Michigan, how it serves undergraduate and graduate students and faculty members and staff? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work into the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. On 101.9 WDET, I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Our guest right now is Santa Ono. He is the new president of the University of Michigan. We're talking about his plans for the university, how he plans to lead the university into the future. We want to hear from you as well. Do you have questions for President Ono about his new leadership in Ann Arbor or about the university, how the university relates to the rest of the state and particularly to us here in Southeast Michigan? As always, the number on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today and we can include you in the conversation that way. Before we get to our listeners, President Ono, I'd love to talk to you about an issue that has bothered me for some time at the university. And to get to that, I kind of have to go back to my freshman year at the university in 1988, which I think marked the apex of student diversity on campus. The black percentage of students in Ann Arbor that year, I believe, was around 8%, and the total non-white percentage on campus was nearly double that. And it seems that almost every year since then, we've gone the opposite direction. Of course, the passage of Proposal 2 here in Michigan, which bans consideration of race in admissions, complicates that. But even before that happened, the university was having a more and more difficult time maintaining what it had achieved in 1988 and expanding on it. So I would really love to hear you talk about the things you'd like to do to move the numbers back up to a more representative level, and how important you think that issue is at the University of Michigan.
Well, thank you very much. And what you've said is absolutely accurate, and it's something that I'm very aware of. And you probably know, because you've looked into me, that for my entire career, focusing on diversity and really the opportunity of education has been a passion of mine that I've worked on intensively for decades. I'm proud of the fact that the University of Michigan is known worldwide for being a place that has for some time believed in diversity in the broadest sense, being critical for our excellence. And, you know, it's been two decades now, as you've said, since UM defended its race-conscious admissions policies in the Supreme Court. And last year, you probably noted that we filed an amicus brief in support of Harvard and UNC and mm-hmm. their race-conscious policies for their Supreme Court cases. So University of Michigan continues to advocate for that, and you're absolutely right that in 2006, due to Prop 2, we were restricted from considering race in admissions. So that's certainly, as you point out, if you actually look at the data, it had a negative impact on what the university was trying to do. But we're still going to continue to focus on addressing what you point out, and it bothers us as well. Some of the things that the university has done recently that you're aware of is the Go Blue Guarantee and the Wolverine's Pathway Program. And these are within the restrictions of the law in terms of recruiting underrepresented, under-enrolled students. And we're going to continue to invest in that and increase that. I think the Detroit-based admissions office is something we're going to take a look at because it's a mechanism for us to support students in those communities in Detroit with respect to applications and financial aid. And we're going to take a look at the Go Blue Guarantee as well as key pillars on how we're going to address the diversity of our student body. We're working directly with the Black Student Union. As you know, a new Trotter Multicultural Center was built in 2019 mm-hmm. In support of multicultural students. And just this year, we've launched an inclusive history project, which will take several years to study, document, and better understand our history with respect to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we're doing a number of things. We're working with the Black Student Union, and we're very grateful for their support. I think that they can play an important role in our recruitment of underrepresented and black students to the University of Michigan. And so it's going to be a period of a couple of months, I think, working with those students before we come forward with a set of new plans and priorities to try to move the needle. I think, you know, as of late, we've had some wins with those initiatives, but we're going to really double down and make sure that we implement them in a good way.
Mm. So we, of course, look forward to seeing what those plans will look like. I want to push a little further, though, and talk about something that I think has gone on for a long time in Ann Arbor, and that is that the priorities that the administration and admissions office set for admission to the university, the things that they value the most often are things that lean into the societal inequality that keeps students of color out of elite institutions. And so things like test scores and grades and things like that. I mean, we can talk, of course, about lots of those things. And that if there were a shift toward to weighting some other things more highly, you could produce a more diverse student body that way without even considering race. So, for instance, if geography were more of a factor, and Detroit and big cities in the state had some advantage because of their population, that's just an example. But talk about whether those kinds of things might be on the table.
Well, that's kind of the basis of the Detroit-based admissions office that I mentioned. And we're also going to look at where we go in terms of geography, and so you're absolutely right with that. I'll tell you, in terms of what we focus on in assessing potential, I led an effort nationally. I was the chair of something called Urban Serving Universities, which are part of APLU, the Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities. And we took a look at what we could do in terms of holistic admissions to move the needle in terms of diversity of the entering classes in the health science schools. And so medicine, pharmacy, nursing, and we were able to your point, shift what the admissions offices looked at in a more holistic way. And we're able to relatively quickly move the needle and increase the diversity of those entering classes. So, it's something that I've done nationally, and that's part of it. That's the kind of conversation we're having right now at the University of Michigan in our conversations with the Black Student Union.
Yeah, yeah. On Twitter, Maureen asks whether the university should be more focused on educating students from this state as a public institution as opposed to the numbers of kids who come from out of state. Right now, I believe the out-of-state percentage is above 48% in Ann Arbor. It was not quite that high when I was a student there. That's grown over time. A lot of people really concerned that it's the university's primary mission is not to educate students from the state of Michigan. How do you answer that?
Well, as you pointed out, I've just arrived at the University of Michigan, and as you pointed out, that's something that has changed over the past couple of decades. We are going to talk about that. We're having a retreat with the Board of Regents in a couple of weeks. Actually, one of the speakers is going to be Jeffrey Salingo, who I'm sure you know, has written a number of New York Times bestselling books about college admissions. And so we're going to have those sorts of questions and conversations at the university. We're undertaking a strategic visioning process that will invite commentary from all stakeholders of the University of Michigan. And so that's how we're going to think through what we want to be moving forward, and I'm sure that's going to be one of the questions. And so I'm not going to make the decision on my own. That's not the kind of leader I am. But questions like the one from your listener are very important in our process of thinking through how we want to move the university forward.
Mm, yeah. Let's go to Dave in Farmington. Dave, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Hey. As a public university, as you might not quite know, the state level of finances dropped. When my mom went there, they covered almost three quarters. When Stephen and I went there, they covered about half. And when my kid goes there right now, they put in about 15% if you count the med school.
Mm-hmm.
So should the state have governance when it's essentially become a private university at this point?
Yeah, great question, Dave. Of course, that tension between public and private and investment, public investment at the university is a longstanding issue as well. President Ono, what do you make of the state's disinvestment in higher ed, which of course makes it more expensive for families that are trying to send their students to University of Michigan and other places? That's something you must have seen already.
Well, I can tell you it's a global trend. If you look at Ohio or Illinois or New York or California, it's exactly the same story. I do think that despite that, As I said in my very first remarks on this show, I'm personally very, very committed to the University of Michigan serving Michiganders, being an economic engine to create jobs for Michiganders. And so to me, the fact that the proportion of the annual budget has decreased is not an excuse not to serve Michiganders. And so he's absolutely right. Certainly we welcome the investments that have been made by the state of Michigan in the past year and months. I'm very, very glad that I have a line of communication with the governor and with many other members of state government. They really have been collaborative. They've sought me out, and we're going to work together for the betterment of the state. And so, you know, what he's pointing out has happened across the country and around the globe, I hope that the investments continue to be made. We have been able to, as an institution, diversify the revenue streams coming into the university better than most. And I'm going to do my level best to make sure that this remains a first-class institution.
I've only got about a minute left, but I do want to ask you about the rumors surrounding the football coach at the University of Michigan. The NFL teams kind of sniffing around him. What's your take on that, and whether we might have to hire a new coach?
Well, you know, I think it's premature to talk about that. You know, those are our rumors. You know, I have not been contacted by anyone in a formal way. You know, he's certainly an outstanding coach. I like him as a person. These negotiations regarding his contract and the terms of it are things that our athletic director, Ward Manuel, mm-hmm. Is responsible for, and I know that they are talking. You know, they will keep me apprised of how those conversations are going, and they will, I in turn will make sure that I keep the Board of Regents apprised of that. But you know, it's something that we just have to wait and see and let them have their conversation.
Yeah. I know you dealt with this issue at the University of Cincinnati with a coach by the name of Brian Kelly as well. I remember that from your background. That didn't turn out maybe the way that you wanted, but at least you're familiar with the situation. Okay, Santa Ono, president of the University of Michigan, great to have you here in the state and at our university, and great to have you here with us on Detroit Today. We hope you'll come back and talk with us again.
Thank you very much. Go Blue.
Yes. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk with a journalist about the injuries sustained to Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin. We're going to talk about changes happening to the NFL and reflect on the role that football plays in our everyday lives, something we have talked about an awful lot here on Detroit Today. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.